We don't need no excavation. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. We don't need the footings exposed. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. We can fix the leak in behind the sunroom. Contractor, leave the hostas alone. Hey, homeowner, give wetness protection a call.
That's a great take, man.
I'm not done, man.
Oh, sorry. Keep on going.
All in all,
keep on
this
going.
Is a guaranteed way to stop the leak in your wall. There we go.
Because you've seen your share.
I have, yes.
How many years you been doing it?
So in August, it'll be 20 years that I've been in the trade.
20 years? How young are you, man?
How young? 33.
You're 30. You're a kid.
Yeah.
And your brother, older or younger?
Younger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you guys choose this industry?
So we kind of grew up with it. So a good family friend of ours, our neighbor, he ran a foundation repair business, and we were always kind of the kids. So, you know, kind of floated me through high school, through college. And in the last little while, we were like, hey, man, we could do this on our own. So he recently retired. So, yeah, kind of saw a hole in the market.
When
so.
You guys went into the industry and you chose this specific segment.
Yes.
Which is not a glamorous segment.
No.
But a vital
100%.
Segment.
Yeah.
Did you realize going in that there was a lot of work ahead of you?
Yes, yes. So
Meaning there's a lot of poor houses that were failing, I
100%,
guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so, we do everything from, you know, foundation crack repair. That's kind of actually our bread and butter. And I know sometimes, you know, we get painted with a brush, but, we try to do the technical stuff and, you know, kind of avoid digging is our big thing. And everything we do is fully guaranteed for life. We're old school. We do all our invoicing in pen and paper.
Still there?
Still, yeah. My wife loves it.
Carbon?
Carbon, yeah.
They still make it?
They still do, man. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we always, leave a written guarantee behind. And, you know, because some of our competitors are like, yeah, go check out our website. And, you know, what's stopping them from changing their terms and conditions, you know, versus of here. Course. It's something that you know, me and the homeowner sign. And, we go on.
Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let me introduce you. First of all, we're obviously going to talk about any issue, I guess, with foundations, right?
Yeah.
You guys take care of everything from the grade down.
From the grade down, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, a
couple inches.
From and down. You guys don't veer off into the other parts
no,
of the house.
No, no. So we try to be, you know, focus on one thing and just be the best at
yeah, which
at
makes
what
a lot
do.
Of sense,
so,
right?
Yeah, you know, we don't, it doesn't say we do roofing on my van or you know, anything like that, so.
It's a good thing. So yeah. Wetness Protection's here, right? So you can find them at www.wetnessprotection.com, on IG under wetness.protection, and then their phone number is 519-577-0687, and then it's Matt. We're talking to Matt here. How do you pronounce the last name again?
Pietrick.
Pietrick.
Yes.
What's the background?
Polish.
Yeah,
I was cool. Born with it.
No. I'm always curious. I was thinking Eastern European somehow.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch. There's a bunch there, right?
Is.
But yeah. you guys all know each other, basically.
It's a mob. It's yeah. a mob.
Let me do a quick shout out. I'm wearing Edge One Equipment Rentals t-shirt. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for the gifts. I love people bringing in gifts here.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Then thanks
I'll,
for having
I'll,
me,
I'll
Manny.
Throw on the shirt. High Tech Concrete Cutting is a leading provider for all concrete scanning, x-ray, cutting, and coring throughout Ontario. They pride themselves in providing highest quality service in a safe manner, on time, and on budget. With the background, knowledge, and support of more than 30 years experience from the owner Dan St. Ange, there is no job that they cannot quote or complete. Their fleet is equipped with top-of-the-line trucks and equipment, which eliminates any uncertainty for downtime and allows our highly skilled crews to complete your project without delays. Choose High Tech Concrete Cutting for your next project and see the difference when dealing with the industry leaders. Find them at www.hightechcutting.ca and on Instagram at hightechconcretecutting. Looking for cutting edge solutions for your spray foam needs? Look no further than Elastichem Specialty Chemicals. With a remarkable track record spanning over three decades, Elastichem stands as an industry leading supplying contractors across Canada with top grade closed cell, open cell, and specialty foam products and accessories. Experience hassle-free spraying in both summer and winter with Insulthane Extreme, Canada's groundbreaking HFO closed cell product. Time is precious, and we know it. Optimize your efficiency and avoid downtime by choosing the best products with the best technical and customer support. Elevate your spray foam game today with Insulthane spray foam products by Elastichem. Give them a try today. Visit their website at www.elastichem.com or give them a call at 1-877-787-2436. Time to sign up for Phil, the free construction marketplace and load tracking app for developers, engineers, and all contractors working in the civil construction industry. One other thing to mention is business and facility listings. Phil has the most complete database of quarries, pits, plants, and depots in Ontario, including all of the big names. So if you're looking for concrete, stone, asphalt, whatever, you'll be able to find it. You can also add your business listing or claim it. It might already be on the map. Sign up for free on the website at www.getphil.app. That's www.getphil.app. You can also search Phil in the App Store. Construction pros, brace yourselves for a revolutionary experience. HTGNA, your ultimate destination for state-of-the-art concrete floor preparation equipment, is about to change the game. Our motto, surface preparation is not just a task, it's our expertise, and your satisfaction is a guarantee. HTGNA isn't your average, it's a commitment. Our line of concrete floor preparation equipment stands tall as the epitome of industry excellence. Ready to take your projects to the next level? Dive into htgnorthamerica.com for a glimpse of innovation. Lock in a demo now and immerse yourself in the HTGNA experience. HTG North America, surface preparation equipment is our expertise, your satisfaction, our guarantee. People bringing in gifts here.
Yeah, and then thanks for having me, Manny.
I'll throw on the shirt. And I love the name. Like, I just totally, was that the name from day one?
So it's funny because I can't pinpoint where the name came from. Okay. I want to say, you know, I feel like great things happen when you have a bunch, couple of buddies sitting on a couch in a garage. And I think that's literally where it came from. You know, I saw a meme where it was like, you know, if you didn't have a proposed business venture with your friends, are you even friends, right? So
it's a good way to look
at
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So... yeah, we want to something.
So who threw it out first? Like, how did that?
Again, I can't put my finger on.
It's like Inception or something like that. Yeah, we just don't know where
exactly,
it came from.
Exactly, just kind of stuck. And yeah, we kind of ran with it. So
it's actually a really solid name.
Thank you.
It makes
you.
A lot of sense. You know, because then you say the name and it already conjures up. If like, I always geared towards construction.
Yeah.
So it's like, I say the name, I hear the name, I see the name, and I'm like going, yeah, it's totally construction, man. That's exactly what, that's the achieve. That's the goal there.
Right.
Right. So it's like, you don't want Mother Nature to get inside the basement, basically.
Of course. Of course.
So you, I mean, what's the oldest house you ever worked on? What's the youngest house you ever worked on?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're in homes from, you know, 100 plus years old to 2 weeks before close.
Rumble foundation, like rubble.
Yeah, stone rubble foundations. Okay, yeah. 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 And then, like I said, basically, you know, brand new, you know, where the trim's not up and the house closes in 2 weeks sort of thing. So
brand new and they're already having problems with the foundation?
Yes, yes.
Was it because of just poor foundation?
So I think it's just a lot of it is poor workmanship.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure, you know, with, you know, new home construction, it's all quick. It's all, you know, piecework. A lot of it is. So, yeah.
I don't understand. Like, I have such a huge bone to pick with people in suits dictating what the people in workwear are going to be doing for the industry.
For sure.
And just this morning, I just saw a little newsreel, and there's an area in Etobicoke that's getting rid of a movie theater, and they're throwing in 4,000 units.
Okay.
Like 6 or 7 towers or something like that, right?
Yep.
And then as I'm watching this unfold, and it's like this mindset of rush. Just get it done, solve the overall supposed housing issue.
Yep.
And then as part of the grocery list of descriptions of what they're going to be delivering, what they're going to be building, there's 4,000 units and they're only building 1,200 parking spots.
Yeah.
And you're in a part of the west side of Toronto that is not really geared towards public transit or cycle transit,
right?
Like that kind of mentality. You need a vehicle. So if you're building 4,000 units, most likely it's 2 people per unit minimum.
Yep.
So it's basically you would require 8,000 parking spots, right?
Yes.
But you're only building 1,200 parking spots because it costs more money to create parking spots. So you got to go lower, which involves you guys. You got to have more waterproofing and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yep.
So it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's almost like Stevie Wonder telling me where to go when I'm driving a car.
100%.
It doesn't make any sense to me, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's funny because I would have thought there's some sort of like code or bylaw that it's like, you know, each unit gets like 1.3 spots.
There was.
Okay.
That's the issue. So then now you get the suits telling you that, well, if we dig deeper to accommodate what we need to achieve, here's all the extras that are going to cost.
Right.
And you know this. You know this from your industry, that the deeper you go, the more issues you have.
For sure.
And you have to mitigate those issues,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then nobody wants to spend that money.
Yep.
They just want to get the shiny new unit sold to an individual.
Yep.
But then we'll deal with the problems later on.
I feel like, unfortunately, that's what the industry is doing and where it's going. You know, it's all numbers. And
it's not like, now I want to go back to the older houses, right? Because I don't think I would say the older houses are failing the same way that the newer houses are failing. I think the workmanship was there in the older house.
100%.
And I think what happened was the basement was, relatively speaking, dry. But when you start messing around with the exterior, landscaping wise, start adding walkways and start dealing with moving water a certain way.
Yes.
And now you're pooling water.
Yep.
That water eventually is going to work its way through something that wasn't really designed to protect it from getting in.
Yes.
And that's how you start seeing water in the older houses.
For sure.
Versus a new construction, you're saying like 2 years old, all of a sudden brand new coming in.
Yep.
And water's already penetrating.
Right. Right. So yeah, I mean, you know, again, we don't excavate a lot of the work, or most of our work is done from the inside. And so, you know, it's hard to determine what failed or you know, what happened. But I think a lot of it is just shoddy workmanship, you know. So whether it's, you know, the contractor doing the wrap parks, you know, the stone slinger on the street, and then, you know, fires all the pea stone in, and then, you know, the membrane is Swiss cheese. There's a lot of different variables, you know. And I think in the, you know, the older days too, you know, they weren't pouring foundations in minus 40 and they didn't have the steel up, you know, the next Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think that's also a big thing where it's like, you know, for sure the advancements, I think technology is a big thing, but, you know, obviously concrete, you know, it needs time to cure.
Yep.
You got to make sure all the, you know, the conditions are basically perfect.
Yep.
You know, the subgrade is prepped correctly and, you know, has time to settle and
But it's about, I mean, as much as you guys are delivering good quality work, it's such a shame that that's an added expense at that point when
for
it could
sure.
be avoided, right? Or actually, it should not be avoided. It should have been done properly the first time.
Of course.
So then you would have all these units that are fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But then I guess it takes business away from you guys as well too, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I think couple cases too where it's, you know, homeowners kind of neglect. So
you know,
you show up to an estimate and you know, the gutters or the troughs hanging off the wall, or there's an overflowing rain barrel, and it's kind of like, you know, there is your problem, you know. So I feel like kind of education or you know, I feel like everybody's like, oh, check your smoke alarms. Well, it's like, well, also, you know, when you do that, go for a walk around the perimeter of your home, kind of make sure your downspouts are, you know, diverting the water away.
Yep.
You know, there's no green, you know, weeds growing in the troughs.
I was just on my roof over the weekend.
Yeah.
I was just like, listen, I need to get up there because I was adding a vent stack to a section.
Right.
And me being the anal guy that I am,
yeah.
I wanted to make sure that the other two vent stacks were at a certain measurement.
For sure.
Sure
for
enough, sure. Here you go. I measured it.
Yes.
So then I wanted to place the new one now at the exact same measurement. So then they're all equal. So
yep.
while I did that, which took 2 seconds, I'm up there and I inspected all the eavesdrops.
Yeah.
I just made sure that there's no debris that's blocking the downspout.
Yep.
And then, but the homeowners don't realize. The homeowners think that you get a house, it's almost like they live in a condo mentality.
Yes.
Like if there's an issue, we'll call the super and we'll submit an email and they'll take care of it.
Yes.
But when it's a home.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people too, when, you know, they think they buy new, they think they won't have issues, but you know, I feel like you could compare it to a new vehicle where it's like, you know, your 90s Chevy pickup was a lot more, you know, reliable than the new one. And, you know, your turbos failing and, you know, timing chain issues and stuff that just didn't exist, you know, in the day. So
do you think it's almost that product consumer kind of consumption, they want it to fail? So it's like, we want these homes to not be perfect because then we can give work to a bunch of people in the industry to service.
I don't think that's the case, just because, like, I don't, you know,
I think it's a cause and effect. It just happens.
It just happens. Yeah. I don't think there's, you know, like a conspiracy or any sort of like backdoor deals, but I think it's, you know, get through the 120 day term to get your money, or, you know, the 2 or 5 years that, you know, the foundation is warrantied for. And that's kind of it. So
I've never had this experience, but I know that you guys dealing with foundation issues and waterproofing issues, you guys have literally seen like streams of water coming into a house.
Yep.
I've never seen that. I've seen the videos, I've seen the memes and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, as a homeowner, how do you let it get to that point? Like, are you just moving boxes out of the way to the dry areas and then accepting it?
Yeah, it feels like some homeowners do. But, you know, I feel like a lot of these issues don't arise overnight, you know, so it's just, again, neglect or not. Neglect, complacency, you know, where it's kind of like, yeah, it leaks every time it rains and, you know, you put a towel down. But then, you know, there's a water main break on the street and then, you know, that changes all the natural drainage and kind of the water table in the area. Now it's coming in. So, because, you know, another big thing is I think with foundation cracks, a lot of them form basically day one. So, if you can imagine your house cracks where it does strategically, and you know most times it's around window wells or beam pockets, and they kind of oppose themselves. So, for a little peace of mind, it's very unlikely for any more to occur because you know your house cracked to relieve itself, and that's where all the movement happens going forward. But you know, I think homeowners should be aware, and you know if you're not finishing the basement, you know there's a crack there. You know maybe again every time it rains or you get a good melt, just come down, feel around, you know move the box back, and just monitor.
Normally you can smell it. Like, well, I don't know if most homeowners can smell it, but you can smell moisture in the air.
100%. Yes.
Especially moisture that's been settling on concrete.
Yes.
It gives off a certain kind of scent.
Yes.
With that interaction between the chemicals and the concrete and the water.
Yes.
And you can sense it, right? And that starts bringing into the whole other world of where you guys are also educated on is just the airborne mold issues and whatever other kinds of issues that can arise from that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like, you know, I have a phobia of it just because of my exposure. You know, I spend most of my day in, you know, dark, dingy, damp places. So
then all of a sudden, like the homeowner mentality is like, we'll just go to the big box store and get a little jug of
humidifier. Whatever.
Or rent a humidifier and get a little bottle of mold control and then problem solved. I was like, it's almost like a Band-Aid when you kind of cut open your arm, right?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, it's funny because I feel like, you know, homeowners are very diligent at like changing their furnace filters and a lot of little other.
Because it's digitally connected.
It is.
The app is telling them to change it now.
Exactly. Yeah.
But nobody's telling them that their basement is leaking and they need to call somebody to take care of it.
100%.
You guys need to develop an app.
We should. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's, the educational part is what's really good.
Right.
And I like guys like you where, like I said at the start of the show, it's not the most glamorous part of construction.
No.
Right? But it's such a vital part of construction.
It is. So, you know, I feel like a lot of foundation issues get discovered during a reno. You know, it's something that they didn't budget for. And then, you know, you show up and it's like, yeah, you know, we found this and this and, you know, this is what we can do to help. But unfortunately, you know, the homeowner's like, no. But again, you know, these issues just don't arise overnight. And
And there's zeros behind these issues. It's not a quick fix, right?
Right. So,
but that's just like the homeowners. I've had plenty of conversations with the homeowners about this where you're trying to explain to them why the cost is what it is, right? And the understanding of it. But it's they don't do the math. They don't put it together.
Right.
They don't realize that your house is sitting on this foundation wall.
Of course. Yeah.
And so it's structurally sound for that reason.
Yes.
And if you continue to let it get compromised, it will eventually. I mean, it's kind of like you got low back pain. Start off with your shoes.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. That's just, you don't start with the back. You start with the shoes. So you have to work. If a house, what do you want? You want to start seeing a crack in your child's bedroom?
Yeah.
Well, that crack's coming. It's stemming from the foundation.
From the foundation. Exactly. So.
To get you guys in a lot sooner and then take care of the problem at that point, right?
Yeah. So that's kind of a big thing with us is, you know, we want to nip it before it turns into a structurally based issue. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, the longer you leave it or ignore it, you know, the bigger the chances of it evolving into a, you know, something big where, you know, it's not just a couple hundred dollar fix. So.
You ever had a situation where you had to get an engineer involved because there was such a compromise?
Yeah, so a lot of times I will point the homeowner in the direction of a structural engineering company. And then, sometimes we'll come back and kind of do the work. But for a crack to be deemed structural, it has to be 6 millimeters or more in its smallest point.
At its smallest point.
So,
six
mils is big. Huge. Huge. So, you know, when you look at a crack that size, you're like, holy, you know, I can see daylight at the top and there's dirt coming in, spiders. And, you know, again, like this didn't happen overnight. So
how does a foundation wall move? Are you talking about like a crack vertically?
Yeah.
Going from the top to
from
the bottom
the top to down.
And it's like, how does that kind of forces like putting on that to make that move.
Yeah. So again, I don't know if it's a, you know, an issue with the footing itself, obviously, you know, because I think a lot of times too, the footings often get forgotten about or overlooked, but you know, that is the shelf that, you know, your home is actually standing on. So again, whether that's an issue with the subgrade or, yeah, there's multiple things that can.
Nothing bothers me more than foundation guys that don't put a lot of care into the footing.
Right.
Like I'll never have the argument to say that it's going to get covered up. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be troweled out that well.
Yeah.
You don't even have to notch out a key. Like, right. No, you have to treat this as if you're actually pouring a sidewalk.
Of course.
It has to be solid concrete. It has to be vibrated. It has to be easily done, properly done, all this other. It has to be because the whole house is sitting on
this. Exactly.
And that foundation wall has to be in the center. I don't want to have the option of, it's 3-4 inches off.
Right.
Like it doesn't, that's going to be a problem later on, right?
Yep. Yeah, for sure. You know, with just setting the rebar in and the anchors and, you know, that should be treated. It should, you know, be nice and straight and evenly laid out. And, you know, so
it looks nice when you
get
them all.
It does.
Like,
yeah.
And they're all in a line and they're all perfectly good.
Exactly.
Like it kind of looks nice. Who cares that you're never going to see it ever again?
Yep.
The image has been taken. It's being seen and it's being shared.
Of course.
That's where the value is.
Yeah. And it's, you know, serving a purpose for the next 100 years. So, or, you know, however long, like who knows when the next time, you know, some tradesmen will lay eyes on it. But, you know, I think the big thing is you try to do the best job you can, even though you can't see it or, you know, the homeowner may not notice. It's like the next tradesman will. So,
How are you guys tackling? So I'm just curious about the products that you guys are using.
Yeah.
Like what kinds of things are you guys doing?
So probably 80% of the work we do is the polyurethane crack injection method.
Okay.
Done from the inside. Okay. So, and you know, so yeah, highly effective, repair method, you know, in a home of let's say 50 years or newer, in a poured foundation.
Yep.
So yeah, we drill a series of holes, roughly the entire length of the crack, roughly every 6 inches down, 3 inches over. So we actually intersect the crack or the problem area inside the center of the wall. And then into the holes we drill, we hammer in a white packer or port, it's called. And through those guys, we actually lock on with our pumps.
Okay.
So then what we do is we actually make the crack leak. We put water through it under high pressure, A, to clean it out. B, helps us to determine the actual size of the crack based on how much pressure or resistance the pump faces. And then as well, the sealer or the polyurethane that we use uses the water as a catalyst. So anything that gets wet, the urethane will react with and adhere to. And then after that, we grout the crack over.
So you don't have to remove the water?
No. Water is actually our friend.
It's going to activate. It's going to work with it.
It speeds up the cure. And Okay. Yeah. So it's basically like a magic thumb sometimes, you know. So if we have a leaking snap tie or, you know, a core hole for, you know, like a well service, you know, we can grout tubes in there and then, shoot the poly in. And within minutes, it's bone dry. So,
Yeah. And then how does it work for a concrete block foundation? Would that crack stepped? It would follow the mortar joints?
So we don't, the polyurethane is only successful in...
On concrete,
on poured foundations. With a block foundation, you know, we're doing, you know, an exterior wrap or an interior French drain.
So, same with the rubble.
Exactly. So,
yeah. So that's, at that point, you're digging and you got to get on the outside to take care of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. But are you seeing more... I think you maybe mentioned it. You're seeing more issues with the concrete pours?
Yeah, so it almost, I feel like they're the same, you know, 20 years to now, you know, the severity and, you know, how often they occur, I would say is the same. But you think, you know, going forward with the, you know, the evolution, the technology, the different, you know, you think everything is getting better, but it's like, no, the new homes, you know, face the same issues, so.
And you got to start, I guess you start wondering winter pour, like who the crew was or whatever.
Exactly.
Like, and then the unfortunate thing is that they're only being paid bare dollars to do the work.
Right.
So they're only putting in that same amount of effort into
it. Yes.
Which creates a problem down the line.
100%.
Which is a shame, right?
Yes.
You ever get into the carbon fiber? Is it worth it? That starts getting into like structural components.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So again, we will.
That's got to be a big problem.
That's a big problem. And again, if it's spec'd. So, you know, we try to focus on the waterproofing side and you know, primarily the crack injection in poured concrete.
So when you and your brother started the business.
Yes.
So what are we talking about here? Like
2021.
So you guys were 21. So for
In 2021.
In 2020. Okay, that's when you start. Before then, you were doing
Same sort of thing for a competitor.
So when did you guys like say to yourselves, "Okay, hang on a sec, let's go on our own kind of thing"?
Yeah. So I think the what really led us to start our own is, you know, we always thought we could make money doing it. We enjoyed it. You know, I love what I do. I love helping people. I love, you know, offering them solutions. I feel like, you know, some homeowners will kind of go down the homeowner WebMD. So, you know, we show up and it's like, yeah, you know, we'll be here for half a day. This is what we do. And you get it guaranteed in writing. So, so I think we always enjoyed it. We always thought there was a market, you know, and we went off on our own and it's been fantastic.
Do clients question the warranty? Like, do they say, how can you guarantee that
it's going to last that long? It's funny because the odd time, the clients will question it and they're like, well, what does a lifetime mean? Well, it's like, well, if it's my brother's crack that leaks, that's his lifetime that's on the line here. But no, because the polyurethane and the sealers we use, you know, a lot of them are rubber based.
Yeah.
So, you know, you basically bury a car tire in the ground, come back in 80 years, it'll still be there. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't foresee myself, you know, getting a warranty call in 80 years. So that's kind of the lifetime guarantee.
But I mean, that's the purpose. You don't want to get a call back anyway.
No.
You have a crack, you want to seal it, take care of it. So then they could either remodel or repair whatever's been damaged and then move on from that and not worry about it again.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. But is it most likely that another crack could form by you strengthening that one crack?
Not at all. So our polyurethane actually stays rubbery or supple. So
there's flexibility.
So we fill that crack under pressure from the inside out, top to bottom, with a rubber product that moves and fluctuates with the foundation. So it creates a seal kind of from the inside out. And then, you know, the big thing is where there's no more water getting into to freeze or, you know, turn that crack into a bigger issue.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. The kind of the old school injection method was an epoxy where, and again, some homeowners are like, oh, no, epoxy. But in my opinion, we're a lot more successful with the polyurethane.
Rigidity with the epoxy.
Exactly. So the epoxy, if you can imagine, you're basically trying to fuse or glue the foundation back together. And I mean, you know, so if it's spec'd, you know, we're kind of like, okay, if that's what you want, sure. But the polyurethane is the way to go.
No, I could just see the epoxy because the thing is, it's almost like treating it as if it's wood.
Yes.
And you're using glue.
Right.
And I've never had a failure of the glue joint.
No.
I've always had a failure of the actual wood splitting.
Wood splitting, the adhesion.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like the fibers in the wood were weaker than the glue that was fused together.
Yes.
And it'd be the same situation with epoxy, that you've made that crack perfect.
Right.
But you've weakened the surrounding area
now. Of course.
So now there's a risk that there could be another crack happening.
Yeah. So the polyurethane that we use is a closed cell product, and it looks very similar to like window spray foam.
Okay.
But ours has more rubber properties to it. So, you know, you can kind of hit it with a hammer. It'll come back. You can pry and pull and poke at it. So, yeah, like I said, it moves with the foundation.
So when you guys got into the business and started it out and you're coming from the industry, what was the industry doing wrong that you guys said we want to do right now?
So I think you know, we have some fantastic competitors. We really do. And I think there's some shoddy guys.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
every segment of the
construction. Exactly. So, you know, we try to, again, you know, we're very technical with what we do, where, you know, we've waterproofed conduits and, you know, fiber runs, and we work in medical centers. I think there's just a lot of shoddy competition out there. You know, the guy in the rented Home Depot van sort of thing where, you know, it's like you quote a job and then you drive by next week and, you know, you see the fence all taken down. You're like, no. So.
But that's just that's the client choosing that route. That's all it is, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, the polyurethane injection method is a little newer.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like there's some skepticism associated with it. You know, it's
Where's it coming out of? The States?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, out of Europe.
Out of Europe.
Yeah. So a brief history on the repair process. So it's been originally invented or intended in Belgium for when they'd core into mountains and they'd hit natural springs. So they obviously needed something that was non-toxic, potable water safe, that would seal up those springs almost instantly. So it all kind of trickled down into the residential application. The city,
usually that's the case. That's what I've always paid attention to.
The city of Toronto actually use the same suppliers we do for their subway tunnels. So they fix any sort of cracks or issues with. You obviously can't excavate Yonge Street.
No.
So it's all done from the inside with a lot of polyurethane.
On the interior of the tunnels.
On the interior of the tunnels, yeah.
But they're just doing the exact same thing? It's just a crack?
Very similar. We're putting a liter and a half worth of material in the wall. You know, I'm sure they're just shoveling, dumping 5-gallon pails in.
So that's pretty cool that the Belgium figured that out. And
Of course. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, it's unfortunately, you know, the sheer material cost is not cheap, but it works. And, you know, we put our name on it, and you know we've done it for years and with great success.
I'm just curious. I haven't been to World of Concrete in a while, but I'm assuming that all these kinds of products would be featured at World of Concrete, or is there a whole other foundations exclusive trade show out there?
I think it'd just be World of Concrete.
World of Concrete, yeah. Right? Yeah. And how did you guys find out about it?
So through the competitor, through the ex neighbor that we used to work for.
Got it. Okay. Yes. And that's where it started coming
and
in.
And that's where Yeah, we learned the process. We learned the ins and outs. It was a great company. So it's still around. I'll never talk shit about it.
No.
Great company.
I wish I would love to see more and more European companies coming into Canada and featuring these products, because they're obviously, they've got bigger problems there that they've solved. And if they've solved them, then we should just be learning from them.
Yeah. I think, as well, like structures that they've built in, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago are still standing, So I feel like in North America, I think it's almost like they factor in planned obsolescence into the new stuff being built, And I feel like the term, luxury is way overused as well, mm-hmm. So it's like, you're getting cheap laminate, but it's like, why don't you, do an extra step with damp proofing or waterproofing the foundation, right? So...
It's just interesting that I worry about what the Canadian housing market or what we're delivering product-wise is going to be like 100 years from now.
Yeah.
Like if we're already streamlining and making things poorly built.
Yes.
Based on the numbers that are associated with it, but then there's so much money that's being given to the government for their gatekeeping.
Right.
And then there's money being given to the builders, developers that are doing all the work. Yeah. And then there's a fraction left over for the actual workforce to do the work.
Yes.
You got to wonder, what are these homes going to be? Like, what's a new home in Canada going to be 100 years from now?
100%.
An actual detached dwelling.
Yeah. So, obviously homes nowadays are built, more green, more efficient than ever. But
Too quickly.
So, I feel like everybody's, worried about, our value. But it's like, so my own home, board and batten, right? It's kind of like, it's a lot of work. There's always something to do. There's always, board twisting. And, so versus I feel like you go to Europe and it's just poured concrete, So
it's going to be there for a while.
Exactly.
Like, it's just challenging, right? Because I think we're, I guess all the politicians are just looking at the today issues.
For sure.
I'm like, you should be looking at the tomorrow issues, man.
100%.
Because there's no point if we have to start demolishing these homes. Like, yes. I mean, a lot of people are in construction.
Yep.
And like you're in KW, that area there, you've got a lot of century homes, right?
We do, yes. A lot of wartime homes, yes.
Yeah, I've worked on a lot of century homes as well, too. And I'm in awe of how it was built back then.
For sure.
And you're looking at how things were taken care of then. Yeah. And then you try to explain to a new generation today that there should be more effort put into what this task is all asking for.
Right.
But I mean, that's not happening. We're getting fewer and fewer of that kind of tradesperson saying, well, why don't we just spend a little bit more time and effort to do that? Well, the budget's not there. We're not giving the money. So then we don't care. We move on.
Yeah.
But then that house is going to get demolished. You're going to start seeing more and more people just take the house down.
Yep.
Well, you're already seeing it now, but I definitely think that it's going to be mainstream in the next 20 years where all the typical suburban houses are going to all be just demolished right down to the footing.
Yeah.
And whether it's a question of you start building brand new or you use the existing footing and build brand new as a reno, that's going to be the norm.
I think so. I think 100%, Manny. I think, as well, obviously our most of our business is in Waterloo region and, we kind of know the areas that are problematic and, I think in the region, there's been like residential booms where, stuff kind of got thrown up together or as quick as they could, know, and then, then kind of it's starting to age and fall apart. And I think the shoddy craftsmanship and use of materials is really surfacing. So
here's an interesting question for you, Matt, is the client, who's more properly educated when it comes to their home? Is it the elderly couple that has been in that dwelling or has seen a variety of different types of homes? Or is it the young new couple that just acquired this house as their first or second home?
Yeah.
Are they a little too tech savvy, noise consumed construction information versus the old? I'm assuming the older would have a little bit more realistic perspective of what's involved in repairs or maintenance. Am I wrong?
I think it's actually the other way around.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do a lot of work with first time home buyers, you know, where, you know, the getting the foundation cracks repaired is a condition of sale. I think they're very well educated. And, you know, I think they're open to, you know, the evolution in construction technology and chemical or products that we offer as well. And, versus I feel like the older couple, they're like, oh, you got to dig and you need tar. And it's like, no, you know, we can, again, inside or outside, we give you the same guarantee. And, you know, it's about a quarter of the cost for us to do an interior repair. So
why is it, I guess the majority of the expense is the digging on the exterior, right?
That's correct.
And most homeowners don't want that.
Especially
if they bought a property that has some maturity to it.
Yeah.
Where you've got the shrubs, the trees.
Exactly.
You've got all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you don't want to dismantle all that to get to it.
No, that's a big thing. And I think, you know, me being a younger contractor, I think I identify very well or better with the younger people. Where, you know, I'm not some grouchy old guy. And, you know, it's funny because when me and my wife bought our second home, we actually went through the same thing. The basement flooded at the home that we were closing on, like a week before. You know, we did our kind of walkthrough.
Was there a huge downpour during the week or something?
There was. So, you know, it's funny because I relate and I feel like, you know, a lot of times people will call you and you know, in their eyes, it is the shittiest thing that they've had to deal with, you know, because, yeah, you can't stop the water. And, but yeah, back to my home. So basically what had happened was, so brand new house, original foundation and footing, and I have two mature maple trees out the front. So I think, you know, during construction, you know, they would have, kind of shook up everything, damaged the potential, the weeping tile.
Could have shocked it.
Shocked it. So
that's always a risk.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if the original home had weeping tile, you know, it would have been clay. And I'm sure, you know, over years that gets plugged up.
The roots.
So,
powder at that point.
Exactly.
Possibly.
Exactly. So, you know, basically our lender heard about the issue in the basement. And, you know, me and the seller kind of made a under the table deal where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, kind of basically he approached me. He's like, how much to make this go away? Right. And it was perfect.
He had no idea that you had the knowledge.
Well, I told him. Yeah. Right. So then, what sucked was our lender found out about the foundation issue and they did not want to release funds. So I was laying
the suits.
Exactly. So, you know, moving day, we had all our shit packed, you know, every trucks and, you know, all lined up down the street. And me and my wife are laying in our empty bedroom of our old home being like, we're fucked. We're going to get sued.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, being in the industry, I feel like I never experienced that. Just the helplessness, you know, where it's not a good feeling. So I feel like that kind of opened up my eyes and, you know, helps me bond with the customers where, you know, I've been through it and it's the customer's not just a dollar sign, you know, because I feel like a lot of times, you know, I'll quote or do a consultation and the people are like, you're so mellow. You're so laid back, right? It's like, you're a psychopath.
There's got to be something wrong with you.
Great guy. Just
because
watch him.
You're not volatile. You're
exactly.
Not up and down.
Yeah,
you're
yeah, like, yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think a big thing that we try to do is, you know, educate and then, you know, here's the solution. You know, there's two options that we could do. We can stand behind them both. And, you know, this is what we can offer you and we're happy to help.
It's funny that you're saying that the clients are like, there's a red flag somewhere.
Yeah,
I just don't see it.
Right. Right.
Maybe there isn't a red flag.
There isn't. I mean, we try to be 100% transparent and, you know, it's what we do. It's our bread and butter. So.
Did the lender eventually release?
They did.
Did you have to educate them or explain to them what?
We did.
Okay.
So we reached out to them. We're like, listen, you know,
this is a situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We worked out a deal and, you know, this is going to go away. You know, I'm a foundation repair contractor myself. So you will never hear about this. You know, please release the funds. So, because then we're kind of like, well, what happens now, right? It's like, yeah, they're going to sue us for, you know,
stuck.
Failing our conditions.
Yeah.
We're going to have to, you know, counter sue for, so.
And you'll be tied up in all this stuff.
Courts when and exactly.
The reality is, give me the house and I'll take care of the
exactly,
issue.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, it was funny, you know, because, yeah, moving day, we kind of unloaded all the stuff in the garage. And then, you know, me and my friends, my brother went to work in the basement, you know, we're jackhammering, cutting drywall out. And
that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, great.
Oh, it was already a finished basement.
It was a finished basement, yes.
And the water was still pouring in.
The water was coming right in, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, so the guy knew because when we did the walkthrough, he was like, my wife actually was like, why is the, you know, the, so, yeah, we got vinyl flooring and you can see the water come through the planks. And, you know, my wife's like, what the hell is this? And he's like, oh,
that's a lot of water.
It, ton of water, you know. And of course, oh, I was just mopping. We're like, what do you mean you were mopping, man? Like, you know, the water's just pissing it.
Man, so. you can't yeah. lie. Like, it's
no,
just like,
no.
You just know it.
Yes.
But I guess they just want to offload the property and move exactly. on. But at least he came to his senses and was being honest about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, again, you know, as far as working through something like that, like, you know, there's probably, basically the best case scenario, right? But I mean, I'm lucky that I had the resources, you know, and then, you know, I didn't have to, you know, open the phone book or Google foundation repair contractors near me, right? So like I said, that was a real kind of eye-opening, humbling experience for me. So
it's a good point that you bring up about the older and the younger one, because I guess the evolution of the older, they've never seen the problems that are arising now, right?
Yes.
So they're so used to other issues that weren't as big
yeah.
back then
yeah.
and they would solve it. Right. So right. it's like a boiler went down. We knew exactly what needed to be done.
Yep.
The roof started to curl or
sure.
shingles were popping yeah. off in our winter. Then yep. we need to re-roof. Right. It's yep. simple as that. But yeah, with the younger generation, I guess you're looking at all these possibilities of what need to be taken care of.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But I go back to most clients. They don't look at your specific set of skills as valuable skills because it's not pretty.
Right. Right.
It's yeah. practical.
It is. It is.
But it's sure. not pretty, right?
Yeah.
To
yeah.
me, it's pretty. To them, it's not pretty.
Right. Right. So, I mean, yeah, a lot of jobs that we're on, you know, the drywallers are kind of waiting for us. You know, they want to get the first coat of mud before we even leave. So, yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's not glamorous, but, you know, very important. And, yeah, it's kind of the stepping stone or, you know, literally the foundation of your reno, your home,
yeah.
your,
yeah.
you know, your home ownership. So
you and your brother ever had times when you guys were working away, whether on your own or before, and thought, let's get into painting?
No, no.
You guys love it that much?
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
it the problem aspect of it, like the problem solving part of it?
Yeah, so I think...
I see the leak. Yes. I know what to do.
Yes.
Let's get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't see the leak anymore.
Exactly. I think it's very satisfying.
Yeah.
Because again, you know, people, you know, sometimes are in tears on their hands and knees. And, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, we, you know, we could show up, you know, we'll swing by for a quote on our way home. And then, you know, we could maybe squeeze you in kind of, you know, 5 o'clock tomorrow. So.
And they're all that happy to.
They're all happy. Have you yeah.
there, right.
Take yeah, exactly. Exactly. And one thing, so it's funny. I feel like every job we do, they're like, you were great. You guys are awesome. And I hope I never see you again. So it's
that's the truth, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, we're the dentist, we're the tow truck driver. It's like, yeah, great yeah. guy, but I hope we never.
I want right. to bump into you at the Tim grocery Hortons store or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah
exactly.
I don't want to see you in my basement yeah, yeah, again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because that'll happen too. Because, you know, I feel like you'll be at a Tim Hortons, people watch you pull in, you go into the store, and then they're talking to you, and you're kind of like, okay, I must have done a work for you know, this gentleman because, well, he's not mad, right? So it's not leaking, but yeah, so.
Yeah.
We're in a lot of homes. We meet a lot of different people as well. So yeah, it keeps it interesting.
Are there some interest, like you guys get an opportunity where it's different than a GC, right?
Right.
We're kind of stuck in one place for a little while and yeah. then we move on to the next place. But being individual trades and especially in the service side of the industry,
yes,
you guys get an opportunity to walk into a lot of homes.
Yes.
And I've done that for my fair share, but okay. not enough of it. But yeah. every time I've walked into certain places, I'm always shocked on some certain things that I would see.
Right.
Like people cutting out joists a certain way.
Yes.
You know, notching out certain things that it's just like bare bones 101 structural yes. do not do kind of yes. mentality, yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. Yep. So I'm sure that you guys go in there and you see the crack, you see the issue, you see what needs to be done.
Yep.
You present your quote.
Yes.
But in the back of your head, like when the hairs are coming up and you're seeing something else, do you guys make them aware of it? Like,
so certain things.
It's a fine line,
it's
right?
It's a fine line. Like I don't want to, you know,
It's not your business, is right?
No. And I think, again, my big thing is, you know, calmness.
Yeah.
Calmness, you know, and I you know, proper verbiage and, yeah, just, you know, we are here to help you.
Yeah.
And we bring, you know, my truck is full of solutions. So, you know, the odd time we will pick something out. So, you know, when we do a quote, you know, we always do a perimeter walk. So, you know, 90% of the time we can pinpoint the issue, even if it's a finished basement from the outside, we can pinpoint it from the outside. And then, you know, we'll be like, hey, you know, the downspout, it's separated, you know, at the trough or something like that. So, you know, hopefully.
But that's relevant to your scope.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
This would have been more like, I don't know, maybe a plumber, electrician, they just, you know, drilled a massive hole through an LVL or something like that when they shouldn't have, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, again, I think if it's like a life safety issue or, you know, there's like, you know, a bare wires just hanging out, you're kind of like, okay, like, you know, what do we have here?
I usually say it if it comes up. And yeah. it depends on the risk factor.
Exactly.
So if there's a serious danger factor where it's like someone can get hurt.
Yes.
Then I'll bring it up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you guys have some time, reach out to somebody, have them come by and take care of this, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so recently I feel like the side entrance, basement entrance contractors and, you know, the egress window, I feel
The guys who just cut out the
foundation. I feel like that has been, you know, just the Wild West without people putting lintels and, you know, it's like, you know, we get calls all the time where, like, you know, the water's coming in through the door threshold and it's kind of like, I don't know what I can offer you, or, you know, where the bottom of the stairs, you know, that fills up with water. But it's like, so yeah, there's a weeping tile there, but, you know, I can tell you that
it's not connected.
I take my coffee and I dump it in there and it's not going to go anywhere. Yeah. Right.
So they didn't reconnect it. Yeah. They didn't move it. They
didn't
do anything.
Exactly. Or it's like, you know, the home is 60 years old and you're like, where, like, this home probably didn't even have tile to begin with. You know, no. So now you got this, you know, nice 4-inch big O, and it's, yeah, again, where does it go? So
it looks good from the outside.
Exactly.
Passed the inspection. They got the inspection. Point,
yeah.
Which is really, so is that bad, huh? Because I see these guys that are selling this service for next to nothing.
Next to nothing.
And I'm like, listen, I've done my share of those.
Yes.
And it's expensive, time consuming.
Yeah.
And it has to be done properly.
Properly, exactly. And man, it's a ton of work.
Yeah.
You know,
You're cutting a hole out of a foundation wall.
Exactly.
Or block wall or whatever it is you're cutting, or even I've done it with rubble, man, which was a pain, and just to make a window slightly larger. To let more in. Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had an extensive conversations with engineers and talking about this. It was rubble.
Yes.
It was a rubble foundation. And I was like, he was just cautious of how you're removing the one section that you need to remove.
Right.
Right. And then how you're going to tooth it back in
with
the new section to make it look like it never happened.
Yep.
And that was my objective, is just like, when I convinced it to the clients, I just said, listen, it will look like it always belonged.
Yes.
Then that's what exactly, like, there was a lot of work involved in it. It was not easy.
No.
It was a challenge for me to do it, right? But then it looked amazing. They got a larger window. It still looked like it was originally from the house when it was built.
Yeah.
And then they had all that light coming in, which was great.
Yeah. So, you know, we get asked about that quite frequently, and you know, maybe your network, you could recommend somebody that we can recommend to do the work, because, you know, it's just so shoddy and so bad, you know, that, like, I would hate to recommend someone. You know, I wish I had, like, you know, I could be like, yeah, call my buddy Steve. He's the guy. You know, he's not the cheapest, but, you know, he's damn good at what he does. So
it drives me crazy when they do those cutouts and they just saw cut the brick.
Yes.
And then leave that as the edge of the opening. And I'm like, that's not a finished brick, man. Like,
no.
Let's talk about toothing here.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
there's a terminology and there's a whole technique, and it should be done this way. But I guess you guys are not pricing it out for that.
Right.
You get a guy who comes in here, anchors that saw, and just cuts it.
And cuts it. Yeah.
Which is a pain, but
I
guess you make money where you can make money, as supposedly. But then the client gets taken advantage of.
Yes.
And that's the really shitty part of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, the client getting taken advantage of, you know, is kind of has their backup to, you know, good trades, you know, well reviewed or recommended trades. And you know, again, like, you know, even our pricing model is very standard. You know, it's like, we don't charge any more, we don't charge any less, you know. You know, obviously we won't lose a job over $35, but we're not, you know. So a lot of times too, they'll be like, oh, we found a guy for, you know, and it's 60% less. And I'm like, you know, give me that guy's number because I can keep him really, really busy. You know, if he's offering the same, you know, repair, the same material that we are, right?
For 60% less.
For 60% less.
Exactly. I'll hire him. He does the work and exactly. I'll make the profit.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's full of crap.
Exactly.
Basically, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that the majority of the industry is painted with that negative brush to begin with? Because of the few that have actually tainted the industry?
I think so. But I also feel like that's turning around where...
You think it's changing?
I think it is changing. I think the
So good quality trades.
Yes, yes. I think homeowners are better educated. And, you know, with the internet, you know, I think there's lots of resources to do your own homework and research your companies. And, you know, like one thing that we do is Google reviews. Those are key for us, right? It's like every job... You know, I'm usually a couple days after, send a text message. Hey, are you happy? You know, if you have any questions, please let us know. And then here's a link to our Google page. You know, we would love 5 stars.
What kind of percentage are you guys getting from your clients to do the reviews?
Reviews.
Are they agreeing to it? Because, I mean, they sometimes just forget.
They forget.
But I agree with you. It's really valuable to your business.
Yes. And I think organic ones is another thing because, you know, I'm sure you could tell there's a lot of paid ones and, you know, just in the verbiage. And so, you know, we always ask for a picture, you know, and but yeah, percentage. I don't know if it's maybe 35-40% of people will.
Will they?
And, you know, I don't blame them. I don't harass them any more after.
You just asked the one time?
One time.
Yeah. You don't think it's fair to ask maybe 2 or 3 times kind of thing?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we should start.
I don't. I just think it's it helps your business. It helps your reputation.
Yes.
And to your point, which I totally agree with you, it starts to turn the industry.
Yes.
That we want to start pushing out the fly-by-nighter guys.
Yep.
And just focus on the good guys.
Yes.
So then we can get rid of the stigma, right?
Yes.
Attached to it.
Yeah.
So I would, it's not pestering.
Okay.
I think maybe make it a joke or something like that of it, right?
Right, right. So it's
you
funny
may have forgotten this, you know, try that.
Yeah, so the odd time I will joke with a homeowner, we'll be like, listen, you want us to pump this crack full of our, you know, sealer? Google review first.
How do they react to that?
Oh, they laugh. They laugh. Yeah. Yes, yeah, so...
So do it now while we're waiting,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you want me to actually stop this delete, you know, leaking? Yeah,
that's a good way to look at it, too. Yeah. I like that. But yeah, no, there's been a lot of younger companies now that are really focusing on that as their digital word of mouth.
Right, 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 right. And, you know, again, I think I said that, you know, I find I connect well with, you know, younger people, first-time home buyers. And, you know, I think, too, it's cool that, you know, the marketing is kind of changing and shifting. You know, it's kind of less boomer where, you know, if you look at all the TikToks and, you know, the advertisement, like even van lettering, you know, it's not just like, MJ Plumbing, you know, it's you know, very well done.
Branding.
Yeah.
So. Which is really critical, I think.
I think so. Yeah. You want people to, you know, notice and, your reputation is obviously, you know, comes along with that. So
what's the workforce like? How many guys you got working for you guys?
So me and my brother, and then we got a fantastic laborer.
Okay. And was he or she hard to find or?
So he actually, one of the OGs from the other company.
Okay.
So he knows the trade in and out and, great, great guy.
And then he's got just as much interest in doing the quality work and, and getting it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, he's a workhorse. You know, it's funny cause I feel like a lot of people, you know, talk about the fact that they can't find good help. You know, we're very lucky with the guy that we have.
But I'm going back to yours is not the prettiest trade out there, and it's a hardworking trade at times.
Right.
Not a lot of kids want to get into this specific one.
No.
But there's a lot of opportunity in this specific one.
There is. Yeah, it's competitive. But again, you know, I think you get a lot of satisfaction, you know. So you do the job, you get paid, the homeowner's happy, you know, you slam that tailgate, you start the truck in the driveway, and you're kind of like, yeah, you know, feels good.
Is it competitive? Like apples and oranges competitive? A lot of guys are coming in and just pricing it down low just to get the job. And then they won't give the warranties or do the service that you guys do.
Yeah. So I almost feel like there's two different tiers of service, right? Okay. So I feel like, you know, you got all the big guys where, you know, we play in, kind of their field, where, you know, competitively priced, you know, we're their price minus 10%, you know, where the market dictates your pricing, but then you got the, you know, super duper fly by night, the $250 a crack injection guys. Right. And, unfortunately, you know, I think they stay busy cause you see their advertisements, you see them around. So,
but they're eventually going to fail.
They are. But I think they minimal investment, right? So they buy some rusted out white van and you know, kind of do it again, start another.
And then what, company. The client just calls somebody else or they've sold the house? It's not their problem anymore?
Yeah, because to be honest with you, I feel like 80% of the jobs that we go to, especially with the crack injections, like somebody has done something, whether, you know, they went to Home Depot and they bought some sort of schmutz in a can or, you know, in a bucket or, yeah, just a blotched repair. So very seldomly do we get like a nice fresh crack to start with.
There's like, I don't know what the number is in the big box, I guess specifically with Home Depot. I think there's 8,000 different kinds of products in big box stores.
Yeah.
I'd say maybe half don't belong there.
No.
Like they belong to the pros.
Yes. Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And an interesting thing happened over the weekend. I went to a supplier. Now, I'm not a specific trade. And so I don't have accounts in all these different suppliers, sure. Right?
Yep.
But I know about these suppliers.
Yep.
From all my trades that I've worked with and also from the show, right?
Yes.
So when I walk in, I'm assuming that the supplier has contractor pricing, right?
Yes.
For specific products and things like that.
Yep.
But since I don't have accounts with these and I'm not that kind of GC that would start piggybacking on other people's accounts and just saying names or whatever, because yep. That's not right either.
No.
I didn't think anything of it. And I bought some, like this was a plumbing supplier.
Okay.
And I bought some product.
Yep.
Just simple ABS, just simple things, right?
Sure.
And then all of a sudden I left and I forgot one item and I was closer to a big box. I was closer to Home Depot, right?
Yep.
And I said, oh, fuck it. I'll just go to Home Depot and grab it. I went into Home Depot and I was shocked that their ABS product was 3 times cheaper than the suppliers.
Yep.
And I was like, this can't be, man. So I literally went one by one through each one.
Yep.
And I was like, this is complete bullshit.
Yep.
So I went back.
Okay.
And I'm like, guys, I'm sorry. I got to return.
Yeah.
He goes, all right, no problem at all, right? I was expecting a restocking fee.
Yeah.
There was no restocking fee.
Okay.
He was nice enough about that.
Yeah.
And then he just asked me why. He goes, oh, plans just changed. And I was thoroughly disappointed because the big box is designed for DIYers.
Yes.
Primarily.
Yes.
Right? And when I see a 3 times difference in price.
Yep.
And it's not that I'm a homeowner walking into a supplier.
No.
Like anybody that's at that cash counter, whether it's on a Saturday or whatever,
will
know exactly if that person is a homeowner who's trying to get a deal.
Yeah.
But when I walk in there specific on parts that I need and I'm not stumbling on my words
or
my description of what I'm looking for, then I'm pretty sure that person would say he's from construction or they're from construction, right?
Yep.
But to charge me 3 times more than what I can get it at a big box store, which is, I guess, the buying power of Home Depot versus the smaller shop. And this isn't a mom and pop.
Okay.
This is still a franchise. There's many locations of this.
Right.
But I
right.
guess you just get put into a class where it's like, you don't have an account. We're not going to give you the special pricing.
Yep.
You don't buy enough volume from us to get the special pricing.
Yep.
So we're just going to give you book value.
Yes.
And I was like, this is leaving a bad taste in my mouth.
It is. It is. It is. Now, I feel like with that, you know, you'd hope that going wholesale or to a supplier, you know, the service would be better. Because, you know, I feel like
he was cool. The service was kind of great. And I didn't think anything of it.
Right.
Until I made that one little error where I was missing one part.
Yeah.
And I went into Home Depot and I saw, this can't be.
Yeah.
And then I discovered this is bullshit.
Yeah. 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 So it's funny because at a certain box store, you can buy a do-it-yourself polyurethane crack injection.
That's where I was going to.
Yeah.
That does not belong there.
That does not belong and that does not work. So we drill 3/8 holes. So I have a little Bosch SDS Plus chipper.
Okay.
And, you know, my favorite tool, I think I'm jumping the gun, but I think my favorite tool is the little, you know, inch and a half little chipper attachment to knock off all the, you know, the do-it-yourself kits and all that stuff, you know. And the odd time a homeowner will be like, well, I could just buy the, you know, it's $200. I'm like, okay, but, you know, we bring the good stuff, you know, and the do-it-yourself kit, you use a caulking gun versus, you know, I have a, you know, skid sprayer here that will build up to, you know, 1200 PSI is what we
to inject
to fill that void.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I think that's the big thing or the big difference. And as well, you know, like our poly, it'll climb window frames and, you know, we've had the odd time where it'll caulk a window. So it's the pressure that makes it, you know, successful. And you're getting a guy that, you know, that has done thousands of them. You're not, you know, YouTubing it and then trying to follow the instructions, right? And I feel like, too, you buy the kit. There's no, what if you run out of product, right? Then it's kind of like, well, now you're at the same price as paying, you know, a pro to do it. So versus me, it's like, yeah, I got more in the truck. I can, you know, mix them up and put it in.
I never liked it when they tried to dumb down the process of a professional.
Yes.
For the scope, right?
Yep.
Just to get all this DIY stuff. There's lots of things that I don't think homeowners should be re-roofing. I don't think they shouldn't be up on the roof. I don't think that they should be doing any of the mechanical trades.
Yes.
Right? Yep. I think you should be, like, there's understanding behind venting and understanding behind drain and huge, all kinds of stuff. Huge, and then they definitely should not be. I don't care about the king of the castle rule with electrical.
Yes.
I know that the Electrical Safety Authority allows homeowners to do it as long as they're getting inspected and they'll go through a permit process and they're charged more for their permit versus a tradesperson.
Yeah.
I get it, but I don't think that should be allowed.
No. And I feel like a lot of pros, you know, fellow tradesmen will tell you that, like, I hate working at home. You know, it's like, I won't do pod lights. I don't, you know, I will never re-roof my house. It's like, you know, I have the contacts and, you know, hopefully enough favors and get the professionals in,
it's,
you know,
as simple as that.
Yeah.
Watch them do the work. But yeah, so like products like that, remember years ago, I don't know if they're still selling it now, where they were selling the spray foam in the little propane tanks.
Okay. Yes.
And I had a major problem with that.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a two-part chemical.
Yeah.
Right, that needs to be applied properly.
Yes,
by a skilled person.
For sure.
Right,
for sure.
It's not a DIYer. Like, this could be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah,
and some of that stuff gets sprayed into your face or your eyes or something like that.
Yeah,
like that's just dangerous.
But I think the big thing too with the DIY kits is you don't know what to look for. You know whether it's been a success or you've completed it successfully. Right, as well. I feel like shared the instructions, YouTube video.
It's a good point.
Will tell you so much, but it's kind of like
assessment.
I know the ins and outs, you know. So again, going to back to the crack injection, like I know there's a certain sound that I'm listening for. You know, that I'm listening, or you know, I'm watching the material do its thing. It's like, again, you know, I've done thousands of these, and you know, when I see the poly come up and over the top, inside or outside, or you know, I listen, you know, I turn up the dial on the pump a little more. Yeah, it's like that's a good feeling. That's a huge sigh of relief because I'm like, yeah, man, this job is done. You know, this will never leak again. So versus, I feel like the homeowner, they just what the instruction says, they do it, and who knows?
See, I kind of want to blame social media a tiny bit.
Yep.
Because, like, gone are the cooking shows.
Right.
Right? Because social media is now teaching everybody how to be a Michelin star chef.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, that's not the case, right?
No.
So it's like, and then I think the DIYers, the ones that know how to say the certain kind of language on how to solve certain things in your home to educate DIYers, you're not doing us a good service here.
No.
Like, I don't like the tile installers. I don't like the finish people saying, oh, this is really simple. You can do this. And I'm like, you're not getting, like you said, the understanding of the purpose behind the task.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? And especially on your side of the thing is that it's structural. It's got something to do with the actual foundation of the home.
For sure.
They could maybe cause more damage. We don't know.
Yeah.
But they're being educated online that, oh, this is really simple. Go to the big box and get this package and use this. And then you got their marketing machine. I saw a quote recently. Marketing is out there for the most part to educate people about bad products. If a product is good, it doesn't need to be marketed.
No, it sells itself.
So when you see marketing,
yep,
it's because they're trying to hide faults associated with that product.
Right.
Which I agree with.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
Like, it's just, you could probably look at history and just think about how many products have been cleverly marketed to get out there, but they don't really do what they're supposed to be doing.
For sure. For sure. I think a big thing too with the DIY is, you know, it just, the homeowners just sometimes certain things, certain tasks just take them forever, you know, and what's that worth? So, you know, I feel like peace of mind, but also, you know, the hours invested. So, you know, the odd time we'll do a job and they're like, oh, you're really quick. It's like, I know, but we do
lots. But you've been doing it.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it's like we try to be as efficient as we can. So, you know, I bring everything down at once. Never, ever do I go to the truck, you know, throughout the repair. It's like I have everything surrounded, you know, it's set up, it's quick versus I feel like, you know, tiling a shower, you know, Joe homeowner tiling a shower, like that is a process that, you know, is never done, never, you know, never caulked properly. Then you get mold. And so I think, yeah, there's something said with, you know, leaving stuff to professionals.
It's just get to professionals. And I didn't joke about the painter comment earlier.
Yeah.
It's just because I think they're just as professional as everybody 100%. Else.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there is a difference between the final product of any trade,
yes,
and what they do,
yep,
versus I could put side by side DIY work,
yes,
and professional work.
Totally.
And I don't even have to look at it for more than a second.
Yep.
And I will know which is which.
For sure. For sure.
Because I know what it takes to be a professional to get the task done.
Yep.
And I know what it doesn't take to be a DIYer.
Totally. Yep.
Like all it takes is confidence,
yes,
to be a DIYer.
Yep.
Trade, it takes skill,
yep,
and it takes know-how, and it takes practice, and it takes work, and it, yep, working with other trades. Yep. It takes assessment. It takes, yep, the right product.
Yep.
It takes all kinds of going to trade shows. It takes, you know, going online and learning kind of stuff.
For sure.
Re-educate. It takes, yep, all that stuff.
Yeah.
DIY, confidence. That's, yes, all it takes.
Yep.
Which is going back to the back marketing, yep, side of things.
Yeah. 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 It's funny. I never thought about it like that, Manny. I think that
it came up and I thought about it and I was like, yeah, we're sold products. Like, how many products can you think of? I just think about the whole world of infomercials.
Yes.
Like, so many people were just like slap chop and all kinds of stuff like that. They, yeah, were just sold all this stuff. They're like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
But then they use it once or twice and it's done. And, yeah, I'm like, it's just clever marketing,
yeah,
to get you to consume it.
Yeah.
Amazon's notorious for this.
Yes.
When people are just online shopping and, yeah, they're like, well, that's a convenient product.
Yeah.
And everyone's selling it now as Amazon Find, right?
Yeah.
I'm probably going to say, and I haven't checked yet,
yeah,
you could probably buy a crack injected kit on Amazon.
I'm sure you can. Yes.
Which would scare the shit out of me to, yep, do that, right? Yep. Like, I mean, like, why would you put that in your cart?
Exactly.
Like, that doesn't belong in your cart.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I feel like people forget too. You know, so crack, you do the crack and then, you know, you're doing the drywall, the flooring, all the lipstick that goes on after. So, and, you know, there's times where we see a crack here and then, you know, so sorry, going back to bringing forward issues to the homeowner, but it's like, yeah, there's one over here that, like, you know, you can see the silt, you can see the dirt, like this one has leaked before. And they're like, nope, this one's leaking. You know, it's kind of like, you know, again, not a sales pitch, but when is this going to leak? You know, Super Bowl Sunday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
when your basement's done, when your TV's hung,
of course,
that's when they happen. So, yeah.
And that's when you start getting into the dangers of like mold.
Exactly.
And I mean, like, listen, mold is harmless in the beginning.
Yep.
Mold is a real problem,
yep,
if it's hidden for a long time.
Yep.
Dark, moist, yep, space.
Yep. Yep.
Then it becomes airborne issues.
100%.
And then, yep, all of a sudden what? Your kids or yourself are going to have some breathing problems. You're going to, yep, have some issues.
Yep.
Then you're going to go to a doctor and get assessed. And all of a, yep, sudden it's like, it could have been just solved right then,
yep,
and there.
Yeah. Cause, another thing that homeowners will bring up is, you know, they dry core. So they're like, well, instead of paying you, we could just put dry core down and the water can find
you it. Want a river underneath, exactly, your floor.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm sure you know that the floor.
Well, see, dry core is used that as a marketing angle.
They do.
And that makes no sense.
No sense at all. I mean, I think it's a fantastic product. You know, I've installed it. It's in my basement, but not for, you know, mitigating foundation leaks.
For, right, the purpose of separating the thermal bridge between concrete,
yeah, yeah,
and your finished material.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great product.
Yes.
To have a river,
yes,
you might as well get dry core glass panels then.
Yeah,
so you can see the flowing of water,
yeah,
and find your chi and, yes, deal with the basement at that point with, yep, some sort of music and candle and some wax, all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
But that's not the floor you're building.
No. And I'm sure, well, you know that the floor drain there never, like the floor is never sloped properly. No. You know, the water will come in here and then, yeah, it'll run around the basement, go under the furnace. Yeah. And then when there's, you know, a 3/4 inch, then it starts.
It's like a drunken turtle. It's just like, you don't know, yeah, what the hell going on, yeah, like where's this, like the slope, who,
yeah,
who poured this, right?
Exactly. Yeah, the corner's always the highest because, you know, they're hard to rake out.
I know.
And the water just, oh yeah, so,
you know, okay, obviously they poured it from this window here,
exactly,
because it's extremely high in this corner. Yeah. We know how it works,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
but homeowners don't see that.
They don't
get that that's how it works.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Someone actually said we could just put dry core down and let the water run.
Yeah,
underneath.
I feel like that's like a viable option in some people's minds. Yeah,
the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I,
yeah,
would not want that.
Yeah. Yeah. So one job that we did, it was funny. So finished basement in like a you know, beautiful century home. And we come down, we're like, hey, where's the foundation crack? And there was a little old lady that owned the house and she just opens this door and the foundation crack is right there. So that she had like a normal, like door right to the wall.
In front of the crack?
In front of the crack. So every time it rained, she'd open the door, put towels down, close the door.
So she installed a door?
She paid to have a door installed.
In front of the crack?
In front of the crack so she could monitor it.
And the water always stayed there?
Always stayed there, yeah. So
with the towel?
With a towel. So, you know, I'm not sure. I can't remember if there's like a silicone little trough or a little catch basin, but... Yeah, people get very creative and very nifty.
That's a lot more effort than hiring you.
100%. Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It is.
A little weird. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't believe it. Because, you know, it was like crack in left side of home. And you're kind of like, this is a finished. And it said unfinished space. And it's kind of like, no, this is all finished. And, you know, I don't really want to just start opening doors and you know. But, so, yeah, I went up and grabbed the homeowner. And I'm like, hey, where is this crack? She's like, oh, it's right here.
Was there a split second when you open up the door, you're like thinking you're going to get knocked on the head or something like that? It's just like, what's that all about? I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, here. Yeah. No, that was...
That was a weird one to think
about.
That
was a weird one. Yes, yeah. So that, I think that's one thing that I also love about, you know, my job and kind of the... being on the service side is you meet some characters, you meet some people, of course. You know.
This is how they solve their problems.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Which takes a lot of thought process to come up with that.
Yes, yeah, or the little troughs and, you know, the chiseling, the people get very, very creative. Or, you know, just, there's just a 4-inch hole cored in the floor right below it. And it's like, oh, well, you also cored through the footing. And, you know, I get your theory, but like the water's coming in and where is it going, right?
So. You ever have to deal with groundwater and deal with the slab?
So hydrostatic pressure?
Yeah, does that get into your wheelhouse?
That is, yeah. So we do, we put sump pumps in. So.
But if there's a big enough crack in the actual slab itself and you're getting some water coming through, are you guys can use the exact same product as well too to solve that?
No.
That's
a different situation. Okay. So with hydrostatic pressure, it's obviously the most effective mitigated by just a simple sump pump.
Yeah. Right,
where you're maintaining the water below.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, you guys install those?
We install those.
Oh, you guys get into that world too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So we do kind of anything to keep the water out of the basement. But crack repair is kind of our bread and butter.
I've always told clients it's really simple. Like we can't prevent Mother Nature from coming into your house.
Yes.
We can just divert Mother Nature.
Exactly.
Away from your house.
Yeah.
That's the whole objective here, right?
Yeah.
Because there's water all around your house.
There is.
There's no umbrella covering your house protecting you.
No.
Right?
No.
So it's like the water is coming, Mother Nature's coming. And like you were saying off mic before we got started, we had a mild winter.
Yes.
So is that making it challenging for you guys? Because normally you would see a mad rush of clients calling you because the snow's melting.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the water would get into the properties.
Yeah. So I think with, we had substantial rains in like early April, but there was still frost in the ground. So I think with having, a layer of still frost on the earth, everything kind of above grade gets pushed or tested as well. So, you know, we were seeing a lot of like failed drains and window wells where, you know, you come into the basement and the window well's full of water. It looks like you're looking in an aquarium. So, a lot of ice damming, a lot of, because most times the water, will run down the swale, kind of do its thing. But if there's a layer of ice there or damming, then it's kind of backing up and, breaching, places that usually don't get wet or don't see water. So,
and in all fairness for the clients that do listen and take notes from this show.
Yeah.
Sometimes a window well has a proper drain.
Yes.
It is properly connected.
Yeah.
But for some stupid reason, they didn't fill the inside of it with gravel.
Yeah.
And some dirt has got in there and now it's clogging it.
Yes.
And that's what's preventing the water from actually...
For sure. Down, so, right? A lot of times we'll see, just newspapers and leaves and just shit in there. And it's kind of like, change your smoke detectors, test them religiously. But it's kind of like, well, also go for a walk around outside, that Sunday afternoon should be, you kind of furnace filter, give the home a once over. And
like you were saying, everyone's got their blinders on.
Exactly.
They'll go out and mow the lawn.
Yes.
Trim the bushes, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But they're not paying attention to
exactly.
the dwelling, right?
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. The greenery is going to grow. Nobody's going to stop it.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
Then you've got critters. You got all kinds of stuff. They're going to be doing what they're going to do. Like people get mice coming in before the winter months, right?
Yes.
Because they're burrowing through. And if you've got a crack in your foundation, that little tiny mouse will make its way inside. Now you got a different kind of problem, right?
Yes.
Same thing with ants. Same thing with all kinds of stuff, right? Yeah. And you have to just be aware of all of that.
For sure.
So it's like I went to a client's house recently and I discovered a beehive going on in his soffit.
Yep.
and he didn't see. I found it because I saw dust on his awning below.
Yeah.
And I just saw that all this sawdust, and I was like, and then I look up and I see the soffit.
Yes.
And all of a sudden there's a little hole there, like tiny, tiny hole, probably about a 2 or 3 mil hole.
Yep.
And I see a bee come out, a bee that was probably like 3 or, you know, maybe 6 or 7 mil thick.
Sure.
And he's like, how is it fitting in there? I was going, dude, I don't know anything about insects, but I'm pretty sure they can collapse whatever they have and go right through this little hole. But those little guys there have been digging through your soffit.
Yes.
And that's a problem right there. Yep. You have to take care of it. Yeah. So he was smart enough to get a fake wasp nest and then put it there, and they all went away.
Cool.
Right?
Cool.
Which is exactly territorial, right? Yes. What happened.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're right. You have to, I mean, it's nice to just come home and then you're inside and no problems at all.
Yep.
But there's lots of problems that potentially might happen on the outside.
Yeah.
And you should get to them before they become bigger problems.
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
That's it. Is there anything else you want to share, Matt, before?
I think that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to thank you, Manny, for the opportunity.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, long-time listener of the show.
Thanks, man. So, appreciate it.
Yeah. When we work, we usually have, we have Bluetooth earmuffs. Yeah. And it's funny because we all listen to the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's funny because, you know, you're jackhammering and you know, our labor over there is you know, you can watch him moving and we listen to your podcast quite often.
Is there any particular show? I'm just curious because I know that most trades will listen to their own shows, like the plumbers will listen to the plumbing shows, like all this other stuff, and I'm like, you guys are such a segregated bunch of people, man. I mean, like, there's also great tips coming from all kinds of people, like you shared really valuable insight here, how to operate a business, how to deal with clients, how to work with them, and that's all relevant to every single trade.
Totally.
So I encourage everybody to always listen to the other shows outside of what you guys are doing.
I think sometimes, you know, the trades divide themselves, and it's kind of like, you know, we're all working to you know, for the greater good, to build, you know, to provide a finished product, you know, and I don't think there's, you know, the rivalry or the bickering. I think, no, it's just no time for that, you know.
The one thing I will say, I mean, I've said a lot of great positive things about this show and the experience of interviewing guys like you and so many people that I have spoken to, is just good tradespeople are always more than willing to share.
Yes.
And I'm not asking you to kind of divulge all your trade secrets. Sure. I'm not looking for the Colonel's 11 herbs and spices here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that if you can share some great insight to an up and coming younger generation or somebody else that's considering changing a trade or whatever, that's hugely valuable to them.
For sure.
And then because it gives them a step up of confidence.
Yes.
And one of the biggest compliments that I've heard over and over about the show is that most tradespeople always felt that they're on their own.
Yeah.
They didn't realize that others are going through the exact same things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is construction.
Yeah.
We all go through it.
Yep.
That's as simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's no roadmap. There's no, and you know, I think that's where, you know, I'm lacking is the admin stuff and the, you know, it's like, I can do the job. I can sell the job. I can do the job, but what about what you know, all the behind the scenes,
the business
stuff, right?
Yeah. Is your brother stronger on it? Or are you guys both tackling it? Or you mentioned your wife is tackling that.
Yeah.
As well,
so my wife is behind the scenes. She, kudos to her. I should shout her out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So,
which is important.
Yeah. And, but again, you know, she, very sharp, but you know, she doesn't have any sort of formal training or background or anything like that either. Right. So, you know, I'm that guy. I just show, you know, console when it gets full of receipts, I walk in and it's like, you know,
still there.
I'm still that guy. Yeah.
Still there.
Yeah. You know, Skittles are not a business expense. Right?
So. But you can write on the inside of the Skittles and you can make a note, right?
Ah, there you go.
So you can
just need some sugar to get through this job.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I got to empty the pack cause I got to write a note
down. Exactly.
Well, just use a notepad. No, Skittles are better.
Yeah.
That's how it is. I got to find there it is. All right. 12 questions.
Yeah.
Hang on a sec. Matt, at wetness dot protection on IG, wetnessprotectionkw@gmail.com. Website is wetnessprotection.com. Is it just wetnessprotection.com or KW?
No KW.
Okay. No KW. And the phone number to reach out to them is 519-577-0687. What's your favorite construction word or phrase?
Yeah. So I think I got your number or referral. I think that always feels good. I think I mentioned that with our business, we get very little repeat business. So
yeah, you don't.
We don't. So it's kind of like we're one and done and that's it. So it's always nice when it's like, you know, I got your number from Mike and you guys did a fantastic job and he raves about you and I'd love for you to come by. So, nice. You know, that feels good because, yeah, we did, you know, we did something right. And, people are, you know, sharing the good word. So
Yeah, you guys have it slightly harder. Like, it's not repeat. So it's like,
yeah,
you have to start the whole process.
Exactly. Because I feel like, you know, a GC starts in the kitchen, then they do the bathroom, you know, an electrician, it's like, oh, we'll do some pot lights. And then, oh, we've got a central vac or whatever. Can you hook that up? So I feel like you always have your go-to guy versus us. It's kind of like, we're here, we're gone, and that's it. Yeah. So,
meanwhile, sharpen your sales tools at basically that point, right?
Right.
What's your least favorite tool?
Probably your grinder. Yeah, I feel like, you know, we use them all the time for cutting drip edges in and cleaning walls and stuff. But it's one of those things that it just seems so archaic, you know, when you're like, how is this a good idea?
There's great way to collect the dust.
No, no.
You got a guy who's holding a vacuum tip to it.
Yeah.
That's got a bunch of slits in it.
Yeah. You know,
from getting too close.
Exactly. The disc on there costs 99 cents and it's spinning at 9,000 RPM.
You know? And you, the whole time you're using it, you're like, is this going to be the day that's going to go?
Exactly, exactly. And then, you know, I feel like the switch never sticks properly. It's just,
I know. What do you miss from your childhood?
So I spent a lot of my childhood in Europe and Poland. Yeah, I'm Polish. Nice. So I kind of miss, just the freedom and the, you know, my uncles, hustlers, you know, they always had hard workers. Yeah, always had their fingers in something. And, you know, the nature, like we actually went back there in the fall. And it was funny because it just brought back like these happy times of or
what
thoughts.
Part? What part of
South Poland? So okay. In the mountains.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So it's funny because it was like kind of overcome by emotion. You know, where I was like, man, I haven't felt this since I was a kid. You know, being just up in the mountains. You know, they have this little dune buggy and it still runs. They still got it. And I was like, wow. You know, it's been 25 years, man.
So, I remember I did a road trip back in my 20s and. I found out I had a cousin in California, Northern California, a small little town called Camino.
Yep.
And as I was making my way up from LA up the Pacific Coast to go visit a friend in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I was looking at the map and I was like, you know, as you're in your 20s, like, hey, it's that far away. Right. So that far away is like about a 2 or 3 hour drive. Right. Yeah. So I was like, let me stop in this little small town in California called Camino where my cousin that I've never met. Yeah. And stop by and say hello. And sure enough, I stopped by and I called her and then she's like, okay, where are you? I was like, I think I'm in Main Street or something like that.
Right.
So then I'm just standing there and she drives by and she sees me. And then I was like, Bernadette? And she goes, yeah. And she goes, you look exactly like your dad, right? So she knew exactly who I was because it's such a small town.
Yeah.
And there's not that many people here. So a stranger coming in.
Right.
And the nice thing is I got to spend the weekend with them in their place. They had a nice little coach house in the back.
Yeah.
Their huge friggin' dog scared the shit out of me in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was a fucking bear.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then during the course of the day, there I come across a garage and there's a dune buggy in there.
Cool.
There's two.
Yes.
And I was like, and they go.
Yeah.
And so I went with their son.
Yeah.
And we just boogied through the apple orchard and it was just like apples falling.
Yeah.
And I was just like, so I could totally, when you brought that up, I was like, I was remembering that.
But it's funny because how, you know, your mind will remember certain things. So it's powered by some sort of, you know, Soviet era diesel engine, but the sound, right? It was just the sound of like the exhaust. I'm like, right back. So
it's
kind of cool.
I love that.
I definitely recommend traveling, you know.
It's a must. What construction sound do you love?
I think the sound of just like a 3/8 impact, like, you know, just driving screws in. I feel like that's just, my wife said it actually. She's like, you know, that's the sound of getting shit done. I'm like, you're not wrong. You know, I feel like every trade uses it. You know, with us, it's TAPCONs with, you know, I think that is a good sound.
It is. So, it's great.
Yeah.
Favorite beverage?
It depends what time of day.
it could be the beverage in the morning and the afternoon and the evening.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, coffee, you know, come on, I'm a construction guy, run on coffee and get bribed by coffee, but, Tyskie, Polish beer.
I was just going to say, I haven't had a Tyskie in a while.
Yeah. So it's funny because, growing up, you know, I feel like I hated it cause I stole too much of it from the old man.
I started drinking it cause the framers were Polish and they were always getting it on Friday.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, why is the bottle so huge?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like after three, you're kind of half cut. And then as well, it's the same price as all your other piss.
It's good beer.
It is good beer, man.
It's good on a nice summer day.
Yes.
After a hard week.
Yeah.
It's great beer, actually. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Now I got to have some on the weekend. What turns you on and off in construction?
What turns me on, I think Google reviews, you know, good word. Just kind of seeing people acknowledge and, you know, see the brand. I think that's, you know, as a business owner, that's a lot of work, great.
Work that you put into it.
Exactly. Exactly. It's, you know, a lot of time, a lot of stuff that you can't really invoice for, you know, it's like, what keeps you up at night? It's like, well, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, what, next van should be, you know, just stuff like that. So, I think recognition is the big thing.
What turns you off?
What turns me off? Your best price contractors. You know, best price.
The best price.
Yeah, just shoddy workmanship. You know,
we're number one.
Exactly.
We're the best in the area.
Yeah.
You're not the one that's supposed to be telling me that.
Exactly.
I'm the one that's supposed to be telling
you
that.
Yeah. Or yeah, the guys that, you know, sell the dream and kind of paint, you know, all the honest guys with the same brush and, you know, the homeowner, you know, thinks that just because you drive a pickup truck and wear work boots, you're a criminal. And it's like, no, you know, like I have a life, a family, a daughter, you know.
Lots of criminals walk around with suits.
Those are the worst.
Favorite curse word.
Kurva much.
Much?
Yeah.
What's the much part?
I guess it's for...
I know kurva.
Oh, no, you got to roll the R, man.
Yep.
Kurva.
Kurva. It's hard with the R's, man. You guys are like going in Latin
now. I know, but like, so when people say it, I'm like, that's so inauthentic. Like, you got, it's all about the...
Kurva.
Kurva.
Kurva. What's the much part?
Much, it'd be like for fuck's sakes, I guess.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that one.
Okay.
Maybe I had, but I wasn't paying attention because I was so stuck on the... That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah.
Europeans always have the better curse words, man.
Yes.
Favorite vehicle in the world, any mode of transportation?
So I'm a huge Volkswagen nut. Yeah.
So we go in old school 80s, GTI? 80s,
yeah. So I actually have a Mark II TDI, Mark II Jetta, TDI swapped. And then one thing that I love is all the European crazy stuff that we don't get in North America. Because the chicken tax, I'm not sure if you heard about that. Or
what do you mean a chicken tax?
Chicken tax, man. Yeah. So we don't get a lot of like the VW Caddies, Transporters, none of that. Because in the 70s, there was a tariff imposed on any sort of commercial.
By whom? Trudeau?
No. It was a U.S. thing.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there was a tariff imposed on commercial vehicles being imported into North America. And then the Europeans combated against it with imposing tariffs on chickens. So it's called the chicken tax.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, look it up, man. It's wild. It's wild. So being in Europe, I'm like, man, like, you know, there's like the little Amarok pickup, right? It's like it's a size of a Ranger, little 2-liter TDI with a stick. I'm like, man. But yeah, that's why the Tundra, the Tacoma, they're made in the U.S. to get around that. Mm. So as well with the little transit vans.
Yeah.
So that's like a full Euro crazy thing.
I know Europe. But
they import them here with seats in them. So they're considered a passenger vehicle. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you're going to go down a rabbit hole. I recommend reading into it, but we miss out on so many cool, like Euro spec stuff.
I'm like waiting for Peugeot to show up here. I'm waiting for all kinds of Citroën. I don't know. No, yeah. I'm just like, I want to see. Like with the vans for construction, how long did it take to get sprinters here?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It took a long, long time, right? Because we were so used to Econolines or Safaris or whatever the GM brand was, right?
Yep.
And now you're getting all the bigger vans. But then when you go to Europe, there's like dozens of companies that have sprinter versions.
Yes, sprinter versions, small, big, diesels. So I feel like, you know, with our line of work, we're always, there's no perfect vehicle. So it's like I drive a half-ton Ram. But you know, shit, fuel economy. You know, a lot of times I could work out of like a Golf, but there's no perfect vehicle for us. And I feel like, you know, a little
smaller pickup truck,
a little smaller truck, would be fantastic.
Work. Totally work
so,
it.
Yeah,
I miss those ones in Europe. There, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
So I think like marketing, coaching, maybe. Some sort of business degree, I think. If I was to do it again, I would probably go off on that because I feel like it is an untapped market and there's also a lot of bad apples and, you know, the Instagram, you know, standing in front of a Ferrari buying my course. So I think I would try to, kind of build an honest brand where, you know, you kind of meet and kind of try to help people out.
I like that. What profession would you not like to do?
Ooh, probably business administration based on my wife.
I'm not a fan of it either. I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Last question. If heaven exists, what would you get? What would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Probably that, welcome. Your old animals are here and, we're going to the earth or people on earth are going to be looked after. So, nice. Yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
Awesome, Manny.
Pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time. And you going right back to the job site?
I am.
And then your brother's a little upset that he's doing all the work and you're not. You're having fun? Are you right? No, you're promoting the business.
Exactly.
Talking about good quality work.
Market development.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing, right? Tell him that. It works.
Yes.
No, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing so much, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thank you for what you've done for the industry. So
thank you.
Cool.
That's it. We're all done. We're out of here.